of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. Look at your neighbor and say, the power of his resurrection. Look at your neighbor and tell them again, the power of his resurrection. Because it's interesting that people are powerful when they are alive, not when they are dead. People are powerless the moment they are dead. Oftentimes, there is this saying that there are so many, if you go to the grave, you see people, potential governors, potential president, the next big thing, they are 6 feet under the ground for whatever reasons. But it's interesting that there is power even after the death of Jesus. I pray God will give us understanding in Jesus' name. So the scripture for the month is 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And the NKJV says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The NLT says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. So we can see that another word for resurrection is being raised from the dead. All right? And the Amplifier says, blessed, in other words, gratefully praised and adored be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant and boundless mercy has caused us to be born again. In other words, to be reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose, to an ever-living hope and confident assurance through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We can see how loaded this scripture is. We can see what God has done for us. Scripture says that we are spiritually transformed, we are renewed, we are set apart for his purpose. I pray for you and I, may we not miss heaven in the name of Jesus. May we not do all that we are doing and miss heaven. May we not miss our purpose in Jesus' name. Because purpose is the reason for your existence. And this scripture says that God spiritually transformed you and I. We are renewed. We are set apart for his purpose. Now, while I was doing some readings yesterday, I found a quote that kind of stood out to me. In fact, it's a whole paragraph. And I thought, wow, this is deep. And it was said by someone by the name Colin Smith. And he said, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the single greatest event in the history of the world. It is so fundamental to Christianity that no one who denies it can be a true Christian. A person who believes in a Christ, hear this, a person who believes in a Christ who was not raised believes in a powerless Christ, a dead Christ. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then no redemption was accomplished at the cross, and your faith is worthless. My faith is worthless. Our faith is worthless. Our Christianity is just a joke. If Christ was not raised, his death was in vain. Our faith in him would be pointless, and your sin would still be counted against you with no hope of spiritual life. How deep that is. So it is important that we understand that his power. You see, the death of Christ did something to us. Are you with me? The death of Christ did something to us that even Satan was not envisaged. That if they knew this was going to happen, they wouldn't have killed Jesus I'm telling you, if they had a clue what could have happened. You know, sometimes if God shows us the magnitude of our action, sometimes we obey him by force. If you knew that this one singular disobedience will call you 6 months of pain, 6 months of delay, 6 months of setback, trust me, many people will obey God. But God wants us to obey him, not because of the consequences, but because we love him. Are you with me? God wants us to obey him, not because I don't want my children to obey me because, oh, if they disobey daddy will smack them. No, I want them to obey me because they love me, because we love each other. Does that make sense? So if our basis of obeying God is because of love, no problem. But if our base of obedience is out of fear of what's going to happen if I don't, then there's a problem. You know, when I was growing up, my dad told me that if you hug a lady long enough, you will get her pregnant. Hey, I don't hug ladies, so thank God I went to a boys-only school. So that was my fear. If I hug them long enough, there will be trouble, and my life is finished. So that fear was what I had. But when I grew up, I realized it was God that actually helped me thus far. It's not the hugging, because the hugging is nothing. Does that make sense? So, but it's important we understand that the love that God has for us is what made Jesus die on the cross for us. And that death on its own is the greatest event in the history of the world. How amazing is that? So, the meaning of resurrection, very quickly, is the raising from the dead of a divine or human being who still remains in his own personhood. You know, we saw in scriptures, Jesus raised people from the dead. Okay? But those people, they still died again. Only Jesus was risen from the dead and never died. Am I making sense? Every church circle, at least about 4 or 5 people that are resurrected in scripture, they all died eventually. So another word that means resurrection is reappearance, rebirth, restoration, resurgence, revival. I love that. Reawakening. So we can actually term the theme for the month, the power of his rebirth, the power of his resurgence, the power of his restoration, the power of his reawakening. Then it gives us a deeper understanding, because there is power in there. And when we don't understand the power, guess what? We cannot maximize it. But the moment we understand the power, we're able to tap into it and enjoy it to the fullest. And I pray God help us in Jesus' name. Now, the resurrection power in itself is a power that belongs to God. The death and the resurrection of Jesus was much more than just something that happened one time. It was an historic demonstration of God's attitude and power. It's interesting, over 2,000 years ago, we are still mentioning of that power. If we keep to that power, it works for us. So it is not just something, even though it's the greatest event, it's not just an event that happened one time. No. Yes, it happened one time, but it actually demonstrated God's attitude and power. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I, how can we experience this resurrection power when we come to a place where we die to our own dreams, our preferences, our possessions, our agendas? When we die to self, when this flesh dies, when we let it all fall into the ground and just pass away and be covered with death, then the very same power that raised Jesus from the dead comes into our story, it comes into our life. That is why I'm sure you've heard it. People saying we need to die to self. I'm sorry if you had that concept before. You may say, oh, die to self, die to self, die to self. What they are trying to say is, let go of these material things and keep your focus on God. So that when all these material things don't matter to you anymore, whether you have them, praise God. If you don't have them, praise God. It does not stop your walk with God. It does not stop your relationship with God. Then you begin to experience that resurrection power. Because those things, those material things, guess what? They are needed. Are you with me? Those material things, they are a necessity. They are not the most important thing, but they are necessary. Scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else shall be added. Seek first God's kingdom. And all these other things, they are a necessity. Don't get me wrong. We saw many times in scripture where Jesus was thirsty, he drank water, where he had food. So God is not saying that these things are not important. Jesus even paid tax to the tax man, right? So he had to hand some money. He had to make some money. After all, his father was a carpenter. He himself, by profession, was a carpenter. Do you believe that? Because Jesus, you know, in Bible days, oftentimes, in Bible days, people are children, especially male son, would actually follow after their father's occupation. Does that make sense? So in scripture, in the scripture time, if you're not a farmer, you are a carpenter. That is why oftentimes, you are a shepherd. That is why most of the analogy, most of the example that scripture will use, it will be using as a farmer, as a shepherd, or as a carpenter, because that is what they could relate with. Most of Jesus' examples are to do with farmer. You know, a farmer goes to the farm and plants seed. One fall on the hard ground, on the soft ground. Then all the farmers there can relate with it. You can imagine Jesus was using aeronautic engineering to explain, or he was using, you know, anatomy. Or he was using some things that were like, hang on, we are farmers. What he's talking about is talking about something that we don't have a clue. So he needs to come to their level. Are you with me? But I pray God help us in the name of Jesus. Very quickly, there are two impacts that the resurrection of Jesus had on the church. Two impacts. All right? Two things that the death and Jesus' risen from the dead, he had two impacts on the church. The first one is he gave the church great power. The book of Acts shows the disciples were witnesses of Jesus' resurrection and how they preached it powerfully to the world. Acts chapter 4 verse 33, it says, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So what the first impact of the result of Jesus on the church is he gave great power to the church. And we know that the church is not just the building, the church is also the people. Does that make sense? The church is both the people and the building. Okay, so he gave great power to the church. Acts 1 and verse 8 says, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you become my witness in Judea, in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and in the outermost part of the earth. In other words, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. You become a witness first in your environment, because you know people need to know that you are witnessing in your household, in your area, in your street, in your state, in your city, then in your country, then in the other part. Then it goes round. So the first thing is great power, and we saw, in fact, the book of Acts of the apostle has been said that we can call it the book of power or the book of Holy Spirit manifestation, because we saw many things that Jesus did, that power did, the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Okay, very quickly, Acts chapter 1 verse 21 to 22, because you know some people will come into a church. You know, recently we got boggled in our church, all right? And I was praying, I said to myself, God,
You can imagine these people enter this place and Holy Spirit just catch them and they begin to confess. They begin to cry. They begin to weep. You know, the police that refuse to come, they will come. The people that refuse to come, they will come. Why? Because they have entered a sanctuary. They have entered a place of worship. And so Holy Spirit has attacked them. With some people, they will come to place of worship and that's it. The rest will be history. So now we must choose a replacement for Judas. From among the men who were with us the entire time, and we were traveling with the Lord Jesus. Verse 22, from the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken from us, whoever is chosen will join us as a witness of his resurrection. We are able to experience power. Because after that resurrection, something happened. After that resurrection, people got baptized. The church had power. The church, not just power, but great power. Number two, great grace. That same scripture, Acts chapter 4 and verse 33b. He says, and great grace was upon them all. The second impact of Jesus' resurrection on the church is he not only gave the church great power, but he gave the church great grace. He gave the church great grace. So that old scripture, Acts chapter 4, verse 33, he says, and with great power the apostles witnessed to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And great grace was upon them all. Acts chapter 4 and verse 30. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy only child, God. That was grace at work. That's why you see we are able to do so much in church. We are able to do so much in the place of worship. Why? Because there is great grace. There is great power. When God's grace comes upon a man, is able to do beyond. Does that make sense? When God's grace comes upon a man, is able to do beyond. Is able to do more than he can think or imagine. So ladies and gentlemen, it is important that we understand that the resurrection of Jesus had impact on the church. Because he gave them great power. He gave them great grace. And that is what we are still experiencing today. That's why, you know, some people, that is why you see, especially in Bible times, people only go and pray in the place of worship. We had a temple. People just go to the, in fact, some people now, they still feel like they have not prayed until they get to church to pray. And you can understand why. Because they feel like, well, you know, if I'm at home, I'm distracted, I'm this, I'm that. You see some people, you know, some people will wonder, why can you not do vigil at home? They want to go to church. Not because they can't do at home, but they can be distracted. And you know, I was telling someone that oftentimes, except you're very disciplined, maybe you don't have little kids and you're all by yourself, then maybe you're not distracted. But if care is not taken, even your children, you know, they will come and say, Mommy, I'm hungry, Daddy, I'm hungry. I haven't got a choice. They are hungry. They will disturb us to give them food. But I pray God help us in Jesus' name. But where I'm going this morning, I want to talk about seven importance, because the resurrection of Jesus had impact on the church and also on us as his followers. Does that make sense? So the impact of Jesus' resurrection is both on the church and on those of us who are born again. And so we want to look at seven importance of Jesus' resurrection for us. I think I'm only going to take a few today because of time, but I will continue next week because Pastor Fernanda will be with us third Sunday of the month, not next week Sunday, the week, the Sunday after. So number one, the first importance of Jesus' resurrection is the fact that the resurrection of Jesus proves that Jesus was exactly who and what he said he was. You know, it's interesting that the moment Jesus Christ said, "I am the Messiah," some people begin to have beef. How can you say you are? How can you say you are God? They were watching him to see, we'll see how it will end. You know, you will see, maybe you will see how you will finish. They were watching him. So his resurrection proved that Jesus was the person. He was who he said he was. Do you know, even one of the disciples doubting, Thomas, you know, people that wine and dine with him, they doubted him. And so they had that to his name, Doubting Thomas. Jesus had to show all of them that his hand was pierced for them to believe. You see, the disciples saw the fact that God had risen Jesus from the dead to eternal life as God's seal of approval. Going back, God's backing of everything Jesus said. So it was a seal of approval that indeed, you know, he said this. Prophet Isaiah said this. Moses said this. Even John the Baptist said, "I am not the one." You know, John the Baptist said, "I am not the one. I'm only to prepare a way for the one who is to come. And when he comes, we all know when he comes." Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7. God the Father had referred to Jesus as a son in whom he was well pleased. Okay, so his resurrection just proves the person of Jesus. It just proves who Jesus is. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, very quickly. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5. Jesus' death shook everyone. Alright? Jesus' death shook everyone because they thought it was the Messiah. How can he die? It doesn't make sense, right? But after the third day, his resurrection gave everyone hope. His resurrection made everyone believe that. Wow, he actually said this. He said, "No one can take my life except I give it." We read this in Sunday school. But even as he spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly beloved son, who brings me great joy. Listen to him." Listen to him. You know, if you haven't seen this movie, go and watch it, Enoch. The movie that Mount Zion did for Pastor Yadeboye. He went to the herbalist for protection. You can imagine somebody that want to help you. You got there, they're already helpless. He just left in anger. The gold they say you go and buy. He had to walk 3-4 miles. So you can imagine. But so they were waiting for Jesus. How can you die? You are meant to be the Messiah. How can you just die? But his resurrection proves that he's the one. Am I making sense? So Jesus' resurrection fulfilled in exact details the prophecies he had given regarding his resurrection. Because everything that happened to Jesus, Jesus said it to his disciples. He said it many times. Even in the Old Testament, it was said. Amen. Number two, the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that the penalty for our sins has been paid in full. Because Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross, he was confirmed dead. Do you know? They checked him. He was confirmed dead before they sent him to the tomb. The tomb, there were two mighty giants who were standing outside guarding because they were thinking that people might want to come and roll the stone. Even the stone is so heavy that the two giants by themselves, they couldn't roll the stone away. And when they go there, they were there all through the night. They were there 3 days, three nights. Maybe they were doing shift, I don't know. 12-hour shift. They were doing rota. I don't know. But they were there. The stone rolled away. They were still there. They did not see anything. You see, the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead shows that God accepted his sacrifice and that it was fully adequate to pay the penalty for all our sins. And that is why when we want to pray, we say in the name of Jesus. Isn't that interesting? We don't pray in the name of God because God is fire and thunder. If you doubt me, go and check, go and read the Old Testament. We don't pray in the person of the Holy Spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus. Because when we pray in the name of Jesus, automatically Jesus comes our replacement. He will begin to intercede for us before the Father. Because Jesus has paid the price. You know, when you have some friends that they have paid price, you know, this my friend, if anybody come through them, you just can't say no because they've paid the price, you know. And you just know they've paid the price. You know, sometimes when, I don't know about you, but when I was naughty, when I was younger, and I need something for my dad, I'll go via my mom. When my mom gets to my dad, my mom has the button, my dad just calm down. I will just do it. Because my mom has paid the price. Their husband and wife, at the end of the day. Alright? So, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. When he said, Jesus by himself purged our sins. Alright, then he sat down at the Father's right hand. Then honored the honored position from which he now assists the Father. So ladies and gentlemen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ has so many value to us as a Christian. There is so many benefit. There are so many things that is in need for us and the church. Let us rise up on our feet. I want us to pray as we begin to round up this morning. I want you to pray and say, God, I want to know you. I want to give me a full understanding of the power, because there is power in that resurrection, but many of us don't know. Sometimes I almost feel like I can really explain my understanding of scripture to you, but time will not permit. Because as I begin to dig into the scriptures, I begin to see, wow. I begin to understand, wow, this is deep. This is just too deep. This is just too deep. By one singular act, you and I, we are transformed. We are saved. I want to pray and say, God, I want to know you. I want to know so I can experience the power of your resurrection. Because somebody you don't fully know, you can't fully experience them. If you don't fully know them, you cannot fully, you need to know them to experience them. Marika kazekete boshka, lepra sakete brigudo, raka kazekete brigudo, leke jekete brigudo, rasakete brigudo, masakete brigidigide, rekeke jekete brigudo, rasakete brigudo, masakete brigudo, lekeke jekete brigudo. I say, God, I want to know you. Give me the grace to know you. Help me to know you. Empower me to know you. In the name of Jesus. Because if you don't know me, you cannot experience the blessing that comes with me. If you don't know me, you cannot experience my benefits. Marakaka zeketebo, larekeke zeketebrigodo, masaketebrigotoshka. We have 2 more minutes. Just pray. Just talk to God this morning. Rasaketebrigotoshka, lepapapa zeketebrigotoshka. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. It is interesting that in the Old Testament, only one man will go to the most holy place. And for 365 days, he will spend 364 days to stay holy. And he will go to the most holy place. But you and I, because of this resurrection of Jesus, because Jesus has paid the price, we are able to go boldly. Scripture says we can go boldly to the throne of grace and ask for mercy. That is what Jesus did. That is what Jesus, I want to just say, God, I thank you for dying Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Give me the grace to know you so that I can experience you to the fullest. Because we want to experience God to the fullest. We want to experience the person of God. We want to experience the power of God. We want to experience the works of God. The power of his resurrection. Even after death, he's still alive. What an awesome story. Right now, as you know, whenever you pray to God, Jesus begin. When you mention the name of Jesus, Jesus step in and begin to beg the Father for you. Do you get it? Jesus steps in and begin to beg, God, please, God, please, God, please, help Christiana, God, please, sort her out. God, please, help Sister Bumi. God, please, help Sister Jejiri. God, please, God, please, help Gigi. God, please, God, please, help me, help me, help Sister Tutu. Help me, help me. God, please, help Mr. Tosin. God, please, please, help, please, help, please, help us all, help us all, help us all. He begin to intercede for you. He begin to intercede for you. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We give you all the praise. We give you the glory. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, we want to know you. Give us the grace to know you. Empower us to know you. Have mercy on us. Help us to know you in the name of Jesus. So that we can experience the power of your resurrection. In the name of Jesus. Lord, this month we just don't want to hear your word, but we want your word to be part of us in the name of Jesus. We want your word to be life on us in the name of Jesus. Give us wisdom, give us knowledge, give us understanding in the name of Jesus. We don't want to be hearers of your word, we want to be doers in the name of Jesus. Help us to be so that we can do in the name of Jesus. We commit this week into you, and this new week, it shall be a blessed week for us in the name of Jesus. This week, whatever you lay your hands upon, you will prosper in the name of Jesus. This week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause faith to shine upon you in the name of Jesus. This week, I speak somebody that the Lord will give you an outstanding testimony. This week, the Lord will surprise you in the name of Jesus. This week, the Lord will build your home in the name of Jesus. All your heart desires, this week, the Lord will answer every one of them in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Can we share the grace and fellowship? In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore. Amen.